Hello, everybody. Welcome to an episode of Cafeteria Christian. It's just me hosting this conversation. We've had some breaks. I was off for a couple weeks, and so I'm back, and I have a special guest with us today. So, first of all, this is a podcast for people who like Jesus, not always so sure about all of Jesus' friends, people who wear the jersey, people who are fans. This is our third episode in the years about the holy month of Ramadan. So the first one, just me and Nora talked about, somehow, two white Christian ladies talking about Ramadan is like maybe not the best way to do it, but that's how we did the first one. And then, last year and this year, last year we had Asma, a friend of me and Nora's, on, and I invited her to come back so she could be back. But the funny part is neither of us remember talking about it.
No recollection at all.
So Asma Mohammed is a friend, a person we've done some Still Kicking stuff together, and became friends by being on a panel. We were on a panel, right? Is that how we did it?
Yeah, we were on a at the retreat, yeah.
Which feels like a decade ago, even though it was like a year and a half only. Oh my gosh. I think last year we just talked a little bit about Ramadan, but because it was pandemic Ramadan, I don't think we remember it at all.
If it was during the pandemic, I understand why I don't remember.
I know it's not.
Ramadan. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny neither. So you can go back and listen to that episode if you want to, everybody, but we're going to have a new one because neither of us remember the last one. So to the day that this episode is released is April 12th, which means it is the first day of Ramadan, correct?
It depends on the moon. Yeah, it could be. We run on a lunar calendar, so it could be the 12th, it could be the 11th, it could be the 13th. It really depends. Do you want me to just get into it?
Yeah, I want to understand that piece because I think you, like, if you Google Ramadan 2021, it says April 12th.
Yeah.
So is that just?
Yeah, it depends on the kind of calculation you follow. So there are some calculations done by the Islamic Society of North America, or ISNA, and they do them like years in advance. They're like, we use these calculations to figure out what time or when the moon's going to come out. And based on that, this is when Ramadan should be in 2021. But the Sunnah, or the way of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was to actually, you have to see the moon in your area, like wherever you are in your locality. And then that's when you declare Ramadan is happening. So when the moon is sighted in North America, could be in Canada, could be in Florida, could be anywhere. That's when Ramadan is declared. And that's the opinion that I follow. But there are a lot of other people, like one of my best friends, and I start celebrating on different days. So we call those the moon wars. Star Wars, but yeah, it can be complicated. So there are some people, you know, it takes them a couple of days to figure out when Ramadan is starting, and that is me.
And who decides, like, where, who gets to decide it's been sighted in North America? Like, who decides that?
There is a committee called the Hilal Committee. Hilal means crescent in Arabic. So whoever's seen the new moon, they have to provide evidence, and they get back to the Hilal Committee and say, you know, it was sighted here. But there are actually, like, people go on treks to go find the moon. So I have a friend in Atlanta who, they like climb a mountain every year to go see the new moon, which is really cool. But
that's really cool.
In the Midwest, we don't have as many fun mountains.
Turns out in Minnesota, it's harder to harder to climb something to see a moon. So for people who have never really thought about it or spent any time learning about it or don't have we have a lot of listeners in small communities that maybe don't have a lot of Muslim community members. Can you just kind of give they've never even had to think about it or wonder about it. Can you give them a little, like, here's what
version.
Here's what Ramadan is, and here's why we what we do, and what the point is, and
yeah, absolutely. So Ramadan is a month in the lunar calendar. The Islamic calendar is also, I think it's 12 months too. Don't quote me on this. Ramadan is the month of fasting. So there are five pillars of Islam. The first is Shahada, or the belief that there is one God, and there's no God but Allah. There is, the next is prayer or Salah. So we pray five times a day. There is Saum, which is fasting. So fasting is a part of it. It's not just part of Ramadan. People fast throughout the year, and not every single day, of course, but people fast at different times during the year. Charity is the other one, Zakat. And then there's Hajj. Hajj is the pilgrimage that we take to Mecca, Medina. So it's a part of our faith to be fasting. But in order to, in Islam, the other understanding that I have of it is you should also be, you know, praying. You should also be giving in charity. You should also like have a belief in the oneness of God. And in Ramadan, you really get to bring those things together. So we fast from, and people actually, there's a misconception that we fast from sunrise to sunset. It's actually dawn to sunset. And the difference is that like dawn is like the first crack of light. And the sunrise is a little bit after that. It can be anywhere between like 60 and 75 minutes after. So it's actually a longer fast than people think it is. And I think this year it's going to be between 16 and 17 hours, which will be super fun. But it's been longer. There have been years when we fasted 18 or 19 hours. So this is better than some years when it hits right in the middle of the summer. But one really important piece of why we fast is, and what a lot of people say is, we like to remove every other distraction from God. And so there are, I mean, people theorize about this all the time. And some people say it's because we want to feel, you know, like we don't have access to food. And that's not it at all. Like, that is not it. Because there are people who don't have access to food and water who are also fasting during the month of Ramadan because they're Muslim. But I think the most special part of it is really that you are separating yourself from this need that we all have, right? And we are dedicating ourselves to God, to prayer, and the only focus we have are those two things. And so if you've ever fasted before, you know that feeling where you're like, I really, like, this is hard. This is getting yeah, even harder. But throughout the day, we are praying, we're reading Quran, we're remembering God in different ways. And it can be, you know, I think that in Christianity you have a rosary, right? And you also like recite things on a rosary. We have something similar that we call it Thusby. And so we'll recite like, you know, names of God on the Thusby, or we'll say glory be to Allah in Arabic. And there are different things that you can say throughout the day, but just praying and even asking things of God. If you're constantly asking things of God throughout the month of Ramadan, that's another form of worship. So if you're like, your God, I really want this house. Like, please give me this house. Then part of that is you're recognizing that only God can give it to you, right? That God can make it possible for you. And so that is part of that belief. So short version is it's a month of fasting. It is between 28 to 30 days. And then it's followed by a big celebration of Eid. And we can talk a little bit more about Eid. But Ramadan is my favorite part of every year. It feels like I'm reconnecting, and it always comes at the time when I feel like I'm more disconnected from community and from faith spaces.
So what is it in particular about fasting that does that for you?
So I think part of it is that I get to do it with my family. And so it's one thing that we are doing and dedicating ourselves to together. And then at the end of the day, we break fast together. So I know there are a lot of people, especially during the pandemic, who are fasting alone. And I wonder what that feels like. Like, you feel so disconnected, because so much about Ramadan is about community. Because you start the day, you eat together. And then at the end of the day, you know, you're praying together throughout the day. You eat together, you break fast together. And then finally, we usually end up at the mosque. And we spend like 2 to 3 hours at the mosque every single night. And during the pandemic, how is that possible? So
yeah,
it's really difficult. But I think that the community piece is really driven at home for me in the past few years. I remember when I was younger, obviously I didn't understand it as much. And it was just like a fun time with my family. And then I started going to the Tarawih prayer, which is the night prayer And it's an optional prayer. So it's like, it's an added on. So we have five prayers throughout the day. It's a sixth prayer basically. And you stand in prayer throughout the night and the Quran is being recited. The Quran has 30 chapters and every single night you're reciting one whole chapter, which takes a very long time. It's beautiful because you're seeing people from your community. You're seeing, you know, you're getting to do this act of worship together. And I miss it, obviously.
Because it's been
a year. And this will be the second year that I'm not at the mosque getting to do that with my people, but it is beautiful.
Yeah, there's been a big, at least here in Minnesota, I've noticed there's been a big push in the Muslim community to get people vaccinated beforehand so they can be, maybe have some immunity by the time partway through, right? That there may be some, but I don't know. I know a lot of people are still doing it on their own. That seems like,
yeah.
It seems like it, and maybe it's not, maybe this is my perception, so tell me if it's wrong, but there is also accountability in fasting when you are in a community, right? And if you're doing it on your own, it seems like it would be so much easier to just eat something. Or maybe that's not, maybe that's more me being like, I have no.
I don't know, because even when I was a kid, I remember I tried to start fasting when I was 5 years old. And I was like, I really want to do this. Everyone's doing this. And not just because everyone's doing it. I was like, it's something I want to try. And my parents and my grandmother made me break my fast at noon. And they were like, you're still getting rewarded. Like, don't worry. And then I think it was maybe 2 years after that, I think I started like really fasting at age 7 or 8. Maybe not the full month, maybe not every day, but you know, I was trying to do what I could. But I've never felt that compulsion to eat something throughout the day. And I've talked to friends about this, and there are scholars who even say, like, if you forget and you eat something, your fast is still valid. Like, that was not on you. You forgot. But if you consciously are going in and saying, like, I'm hungry, Ramadan is about discipline. Like, you're not disciplining yourself if you're eating. And yeah. So much of it is like, if you have a hard time disciplining yourself in that way, then Ramadan's going to be hard. And I think Ramadan's hard on every single person who does it for very different reasons. For me, it's less about the food, maybe a little bit more about the water, but really about, you know, like disciplining myself to read Quran every single day is hard. And there's more, even more of it is like not swearing. And there are people who like, don't engage in listening to music or watching movies or things that like are going to waste your time. Focus on the Quran, focus on community, focus on your family. So like, I'm more intentional about maybe talking to my siblings in a nicer manner than I normally would, or wanting to do nice things for my family. Like, I want to cook them a meal when at other times it really feels like a chore. There are so many other ways to engage in worship. And I think that those come out during Ramadan because you realize that there are little things that you're doing that maybe aren't so much in line with what we consider like good Muslims or Islam to do. And it helps you kind of recenter.
So when you say, so there's the fasting you're doing, I mean, primarily food and water, right? But you just said there's people are fasting from other things too, swearing, music, movies.
Well, yeah, swearing, that music, kind of sex. Even like you can't have sex throughout the day. You can't. I mean, there are people with different opinions on the movies and whatnot, but like those things are very basic. Like you, like food, water, any kind of sexual activity, like during the time of fasting. You can throughout the month, but not, you know, it's the same as the time of food. And I think even Maybe I was wrong about that. There are a bunch of other things, but I think the whole point is really to drive home the idea of discipline. And so that's what it does for me, that I'm not watching Netflix all day long, like it's kind of fasting and my brain feels a little foggy, if that's what you want to do. And
yeah,
to fight yourself and be like, nope, we're going to read Quran right now. We're going to pray on time.
So people kind of get to, I mean, there's ones that are sort of assigned disciplines, but then people might get to decide on their own which things are their bigger distractions or bigger, you know, easy distractions to get you out of doing the discipline of reading Quran, right? That, so everybody kind of gets to choose. Is that?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the same. I think I would say the same thing as in every faith, right? You get to decide like how much you want to engage with your faith and how much you want to engage in worship. If you want to get the most out of Ramadan, you're going to try to push away all the distractions that you can. If you're like, Ramadan's just kind of a month to me, then you're probably not going to do as much. You're probably just going to do the bare minimum, not eat and not drink water, and everything else is okay for you. Like, I know people who they don't eat and drink during the day, but then they're like doing everything else that you're not supposed to do at night. And I'm like, okay, like everyone has their own way. You know, everyone's trying to figure out what works for them. But I think, you know, you have to know what discipline looks like for you and what is actually going to make you change at the end of the month. I think one of my favorite things that an Islamic scholar said was, if you have not changed by the end of the month Ramadan, then you know, like it didn't work for you. Like it's supposed to create some change in you. And if it didn't, then you probably didn't try hard enough.
So there's levels just like of engagement, essentially. I love how you're like, if you want to do the bare minimum, just don't eat and drink. Like that seems like that's the bare minimum, but it seems still like a lot it still seems like a really big
that's
thing.
Where but, I used to be at. That's what I used to do. Where I would just be like, okay, I have work. I'm too tired. Maybe I have time to go to the mosque like a couple times. I'm not going to go every night anymore. And I would just do, you know, the fasting from food and water throughout the day. And then after that, it was like, okay, like I'm not fasting anymore. We're good. But yeah. That changed over the years because I want more out of the month.
So when you say something changes or that you get changed, give me like an example of some change. If you're willing to share, this is obviously a personal ask, but like, but if you're willing to share, and you don't have to, but if you're willing to share something or a story from somebody else, if you have another story that you'd rather share, what does that kind of seem like for you? Share or a change by the end of the month?
Yeah. So one thing that I've always struggled with is, I mean, we have our 5 prescribed times for prayer. But I would always struggle with praying on time. And then during the month of Ramadan, like you really have to push yourself because, you know, you're wanting to do more. And so one thing that came out is I started praying on time, every single prayer. So that's one thing. Another thing that came out of it is I don't like people all that much all the time. And you know, going through a month, like not complaining about people as much or like, no, not just, you know, the little things, road rage, for example, like I get really irritated by other drivers, but I was like, I'm going to be chill. I'm going to be calm throughout this month. But like by the end of the month, I was like, I can do that. And I wasn't eating. I wasn't drinking any water. I had every reason to be a little bit pissed off. And here I am not being pissed off. So those are some really basic things. But even beyond that, like I said, I used to not really, I've always believed in community, but I didn't think community believed in me. And I think at the end of one month in particular, I realized that the Muslim community wasn't exactly what I thought it was. You know, I think people who go to church or go to temple have these ideas of like the judgmental other Muslims or other Christians or whoever. And so you're like, those people. But at the end of the month, I was like, no, like these are my people. And I think that was a really beautiful thing that came out of one month.
Nice. That's lovely. Last year so we both live in Minneapolis. So last year in Minneapolis, there was the first time they had offered a call to prayer.
Yeah.
Publicly, do you know if they're doing that again this year? Is that happening? I haven't heard.
They might. I haven't heard anything new, but they might do it at some. I mean, we were in the pandemic then, we're in the pandemic now, so we'll see. But I think it's very possible. It probably will happen.
Yeah. And there was a quite a bit of heat on the community during that public call to prayer too, right?
Yeah. I mean, we hear church bells. Can you hear the Adhan for a little bit? The Adhan is prayer. And I'm like, come on, guys.
Yeah. And lots of church bells too. Oh my gosh.
If you live anywhere near the Basilica, you're like, if you sleep in until noon, you're woken up by those church bells.
There's a church just across the river from me in St. Paul where if you're walking on the river, you can hear, and they play like songs as opposed to just like regular church bells, but it's like, yeah, you have to like listen to, you have to, it's like a process to listen to it. And I'm always curious about the neighborhood around it. If people are like, ugh, or if they learn to love it, or I don't know, I'm just like, but you're really forcing everybody to listen to this thing in the community. So I'm kind of like, well, let's be equal about it. I sort of feel, I feel like let's just be equal about it. If I'm having people listen to church bells,
yeah,
might as well.
I mean, the same goes for like, I love Christmas music. And so, I mean, I think it's something so similar. Like you're going to walk into a store, you're going to hear Christmas music. You're walking down the street, you hear Christmas music everywhere you go during that time, actually several months before that time. And
yeah, no kidding.
I'm like, I don't understand the complaints about the call to prayer, but I guess, I mean, you're obviously going to get bigoted people everywhere. And that happens in Minneapolis too. And I think what's so funny is that there are people outside of Minneapolis who have a bigger problem with it than the people who are in Minneapolis actually hearing it. And I'm like, dude, you weren't even there. You don't go here. What's going on?
Yeah. You don't go here. I mean, I do think there's some like I think the part, this is my opinion based on, so we did, we participated in a break fast a mosque in Brooklyn Park where my church is located, invited us. We made a connection and they invited us to join them for one, we're not crashing your party every night, but we joined for one and they, gave us some educational pieces and kind of walked us through what Ramadan is about, but also just the prayers leading up to the breaking of the fast. And we were present for the reading of the one chapter and like that whole piece. And there were some people in my own community who I feel like are pretty progressive and pretty open, who are still like, I don't know what they're saying. And so I don't know what they're making me say. And they're like, well, first of all, we're not making you say anything. You're just observing. But I think that level of fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
And so I remember encouraging this, it was an older lady to read. I was like, I have a Quran in my office. If you want to look through it, like, it's not scary, you know, like it's prayer. It's prayer. And to say, is there anything, you know, equivalency to me, it'd be like making somebody who is a non-English speaker come into my congregation and listen to a scripture reading. And you're like, are we converting anybody by doing that? Are we forcing Christianity on anybody by having them sit there and listen to us read it? No, it's equivalent. You know, it's the same, where there's an observation piece that I appreciated, but I understand. I think I understood the fear that people have around the call to prayer sounds like foreign and scary if you're, you know, which is
absolutely
frustrating. It's frustrating, but I feel like I hadn't really understood that it's all out of a place of ignorance. It's all out of a place of not knowing what is the Quran and what are you praying and what is the point of the call to prayer and what are we saying in the words that we don't understand as people who, you know,
and
I'm not Muslim and haven't been raised in the prayers, steeped in the prayers that you're steeped in. And so I think it's just a little bit of education goes kind of a long way.
Another thing in Islam, at least, like if you're not saying it with conviction, it doesn't mean anything. Like even if I'm reading the Quran and it isn't touching my heart, it doesn't mean anything. I'm not getting rewarded for doing anything around it. So if I'm saying something that I really don't believe in, or if, you know, if someone is asking you to repeat something after them in Arabic and you don't believe in any of it, then what does it really mean? It means nothing to you. You're not being converted because you don't believe in it. So I think that's just kind of funny because I think we understand things so differently in different parts of our communities. But yeah, I think a lot of it is just fear of the unknown, fear of something that, you know, you've never experienced before. But I appreciated that. And I've always appreciated when people come to the mosque and want to learn more. Our mutual friend Kylie, she was at the mosque yesterday and she was getting her vaccine there. She's like, oh my God, everyone is so nice. And I was like, yeah, that's that's how we are. But it was her and it was to do this beautiful thing. And, you know, getting vaccinated is a beautiful thing. And recognizing that she was doing it amongst a part of a community that, you know, she doesn't normally get to engage with, I think was incredible. And I think every single time that we can engage a little bit more, we're hopefully bridging some of those gaps in knowledge and gaps in the ignorance that exists. And there's ignorance on both sides, of course. But I think that, of course, I mean, the other thing is that we're mostly Black and brown people. And there are a lot of white folks that want to come into our mosques and learn a little more. And I think that, you know, we have to come to it together with humility and understand that, you know, not everyone's going to be at the same place. And there are some people who are going to come in really enthusiastically, like you were, and others who are like, here because they told me I should be, you know? So
yeah. It's hard. Yeah. Hard. And I mean, yeah, I think it's not, there's a level of openness. I think this community in particular, Cafeteria Christians, have this level of openness and willing to learn and willing to be, you know, I think there's so many post-evangelical Christians in this community who have really deconstructed some of the harmful narratives of like, if you're not Christian, you're going to hell kind of stuff. Like you're, everybody else is on the outside. It's just you. And to start, having a more tolerant isn't even the right word, but just more expansive, open, sort of universal idea of God and the goodness of God, and saying, you know, to try to come to a place of we believe in the same God, mm-hmm. and to come from that place and be like, the other pieces of that matter less. I mean, I respect your faith. I know you respect my faith, and we're not sitting here trying to, you're not trying to convert me. I'm not trying to convert you. You know, there's this, I think there's something really beautiful for me when I have conversations with you or with other people in my life who are Muslim, who I just value so much the, what I learn about faith through your faith, which is, it is, our faith is different, but I feel like I learn, I have a sense of, okay, so one of my favorite authors, everybody knows this by now, I talk about her all the time, Barbara Brown Taylor, but she has this book called Holy Envy, where she just talks about, this is how I feel about when we have a conversation about Ramadan. I feel this holy envy that I don't have this discipline and I don't have this, this deep faith that allows me to remove all distractions and focus in on my faith and be so devout for a specific set amount of time and come out of it changed on the other end. And I'm jealous that Christianity has left this sort of tradition of fasting really behind. It's not part of our communal faith anymore. And I think there's something really beautiful about leaning in a bit to the holy envy of saying like, there's something you can learn from our Muslim brothers and sisters in the world who are doing this intentional refocus, intentional deepening. I think it's so beautiful.
I love that because I think that even in talking to friends, I have a lot of Christian friends, and I was talking to one of them just like a week ago because she was watching, I think, Joseph King of Dreams, the cartoon.
Yeah.
So I was like, Joseph King of Dreams, like, the prophet Yusuf, and she's like, no. And I was like, that's my favorite chapter of the Quran. I love it. So then I was like, okay, so what happens in the movie? And so we're just talking through this cartoon that she loves, and she was having her son watch it with her. And so I was like, yeah, so are they like, so does it start out this way? And so his brothers do this, and was there a well? Okay, and were there two people in prison with him? And did he tell them what their dreams meant? And so we're just talking about all of this. And she was like, I knew there are a lot of similarities, but I had no idea it was exactly the same in a lot of places. It was just so funny because I have this understanding that the Abrahamic faiths are so similar, and like, you know, we are descended, like we know in Islam, the way we understand things is Judaism came and Christianity and then Islam. And so we have a lot of the same stories. And I think I have that understanding, but I haven't gone in and read, you know, what you all say about Yusuf or Joseph, peace be upon him. But it was, I think it was such a fun moment to be like, that's so cool that we have something that's exactly the same. But I loved it. It was just such a beautiful, something that we can share. And I think that there's so many similarities that maybe we don't know. And that takes away from some of the unknown that scares us. Because we're like, no, actually, like this story, we all share.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so when we put up a block and just say like, we're different and that's it. Like we believe different things. That's that. And you just, there's so much that's missed and lost, right? In our shared community and our shared faith. And I think, my call for Cafeteria Christians during this holy month of Ramadan would be to find some shared places of faith and learning. I think it's really beautiful, instead of writing people off as different, to learn how maybe focus in a little on the similarities, or lean into the holy envy if you have it like I do. Cause I think that's, I think that's part of why I really value this month and what it teaches me, even though I'm not a person that's practicing or doing the prayers, but it reminds me of like the power of fasting and devotion and faithful prayer and intentional focus. I just think it's so beautiful.
Yeah. And I think if there are folks listening who have Muslim friends, they probably want to talk to you more about Ramadan. They probably want to talk to you more about faith. And if they don't, of course, like that's, you know, everyone's own prerogative, but I love talking to people about my faith, and I love when people have questions. Like I get random questions on Instagram and Twitter. They're like, hey, is this normal? Like I saw a hijabi doing this the other day, or like this person at my work isn't fasting. Is that kind of scandalous? I'm like, I remember, oh my God, I used to work on political campaigns. Never again. But I had a friend who was fasting with me. And so he was like, I just want to fast in solidarity with you. And I was like, okay, cool. Whatever you want to do, it's up to you. And he's like, I just understand that like we're organizing for 18 hours a day and it's very difficult. And, you know, like, I want you to know there's someone there like with you. And I was like, that's awesome. Thank you. I appreciate that. And there was, when I got my period, I had to explain to him like, hey, I'm not fasting right now. I was like, I'm not required to fast. It's actually not good for me to fast right now. So I'm not going to be fasting. And he was like, in shock. And he was like, you're not going to fast. Like, is this a you're waking, or like, is it? And I was like, no, Islamically, like when you're sick, when you have your period, like if you're pregnant or breastfeeding, like you're not required to fast. And he was like, okay. So, and then I explained a lot of things for him, but yeah, people want to talk to you more. And I think the more you learn about your Muslim friends and Muslim family members or community members, the more they're going to feel comfortable just being more open with you and sharing those things with you. And we want to do that. I think that we want to be connected to community in so many different ways, and we want to build different parts of community. This is one really easy way to do that. Ask if you, maybe not during the pandemic, but ask if you can come to the mosque, or can we grab iftar together? Iftar is when we break fast. What can we do together? How can I like support you in engaging in this month? But I love when people want to get iftar with me. It's one of my favorite things.
Yeah. So, can you give us some other maybe do's and don'ts, or ways we can be supports or good allies during this month, this upcoming month?
I mean, don't eat my favorite food in front of me. it's actually okay. I think that we all have, I have enough discipline, and I hope that, you know, other people who are fasting have enough discipline to be like, I'm fine. But I remember, I used to be in a workplace where they would ask me if I was okay eating lunch, or like sitting when everyone else is eating lunch. And I was like, I love lunchtime. I want to hang out with everybody. Like, you guys can eat. I don't have to eat. But there's some people who prefer to just, you know, go hang out. They want to read a book. They want to read Quran. They want to do whatever they want to do during that time because they don't want to be around food. For some people, like, they're like, yeah, that's a temptation. I don't even want it near me. I'm going to drink water if it's there. So just don't let me be anywhere near it. I think ask people their preference. Be like, hey, are you okay being at lunch, or are you okay doing this thing? There's going to be food, and I know you're fasting, so I just want to be conscious. My biggest thing is scheduling things during the day of Ramadan, like that are like, do not schedule an 8 a.m. meeting with your Muslim friends during Ramadan. They will not like you. We have a rule now. So I work for a Muslim organization, but we have a rule now that we do not take meetings until after noon because we are up at like 4 a.m. We're staying up till 5:30, 6 to pray. And we have been up the night before because we were praying Tarawih or the night prayers. We're tired. Let us sleep. Like, come on. So, I want people to let me sleep in. So ask people their preferences around timing too. And I think that's one of the biggest things that people forget. And I mean, if you're making really big plans, I keep getting like requests from people who are like, hey, can we like, let's do dinner. Let's do this. I'm vaccinated now. And I think people are really excited about that. That is super exciting. But remember that, you know, like, we want to hang out. We're so excited we're vaccinated now and it's not time yet. And I love doing iftar, but I limit myself to, you know, just like maybe one iftar with a friend a week. During the pandemic, it's no iftars with friends any weeks, but I do want to focus on my worship and myself and my connection to God. So if I'm not coming out, it's not because I don't like you. It's because I really, really like God and I really want to connect to God right now. So those are some of the things. And I think people have asked me this. They're just like, do I say happy Ramadan? Do I say blessed Ramadan? It's really up to you. But wishing it just feels good. I think just, you know, sending that to someone that you know is celebrating, saying happy or blessed Ramadan is always nice. But technically we're not celebrating Ramadan, we're observing Ramadan. So once Eid comes around, you can say happy Eid or Eid Mubarak. Eid means may your Eid be blessed as well. But it's just a beautiful time. And the more you engage with your friends around it, I think that, you know, like even asking these questions of our own preferences opens up conversations that maybe you wouldn't have otherwise.
So when people see Mubarak on signs, so Ramadan Mubarak, what is that? Does that mean blessed?
Yes.
So that...
Mubarak means like, may it be blessed, like a Ramadan Mubarak, may your blessed. Ramadan be a blessed one.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember, so here in the cities, I'm assuming there's other cities in the country that have this option as well, but places where you can, if there's a mosque in your community where you can donate to help a family with their iftar,
yeah.
Is that still a thing that's happening?
There are some. I know that Dr. Shabazz Charities is doing that. So they do something called Iftar Box. So if you live in the Twin Cities, there's something called Iftar Box and you can donate to families in need who are not able to provide iftar. And especially because we're in a pandemic and people aren't going to the mosque, it's a little bit harder. So people are just picking up and then, you know, going back home and enjoying that meal together. Otherwise, Ramadan, during the month of Ramadan, you're seeing people who maybe normally don't come to the mosque, but they're coming just for iftar. So you know that the need is there, right? Like entire families are coming just for iftar, just for sahur. Sahur is the pre-dawn meal. So I think that if you want to do that, if you want to be able to do that, then I will send some links over and hopefully be able to have those ready for people. But there's people in the Twin Cities. I know that there are a ton like all over the country that are collecting money for people to have iftar. But yeah, also if you know that like a family that you know is going through something hard and it's the month of Ramadan, or even if they're not going through something hard, sending iftar is really, really like, it's one of my things, the sweetest thing in the world. When people send over iftar, I love it. I think, and I like to do that for, you know, I like try to pick a friend that I know is struggling or whatever is going on and maybe they need a break from cooking or ordering out. And I'm like, let's do that for you. So do that for a friend, find someone that you know, or someone that you don't know who's in need of a little iftar.
Yeah. And if the links aren't, I mean, I'll send out links as I get them too, but also Cafeteria Christians, Google is your friend and you can find, you can find ways to do it so we don't have to put all the work for this on Asma. But if there is a community, if there is a mosque in your community or in a nearby community or in a city nearby you, I think that's a really great way to support, especially now when going to these IFTARS is harder for people, particularly if the state that they're in does not have ready access to vaccines and stuff yet either. So, yeah, I'll try to find links for that too. But IFTAR box, that's a good one to note for. There's a lot of Twin Cityans on this in this community. So, and even if you're not, if you don't live here, you can still support our community.
And even actually, if your mosque, if the mosque that's nearest to you is open, I mean, you can even just honestly walk in and ask and be like, hey, I want to support IFTAR for a day. It's expensive, but like, maybe I want to support IFTAR for this many people for a day. They will take whatever you give. And I know at my mosque, there is an option to sponsor like an entire IFTAR for the entire mosque. So whoever shows up will be fed by you. And I think it's like $1,000 to for every, and that's $30,000 throughout the month of Ramadan, and it's all being used up. Like all of that food is going every single night. And, you know, again, the need is there. But there are people, you know, people split it up. So if you have a couple of friends and you want to split it up in some way, that's another way to do it.
Awesome. Any last words for our community?
Last words.
I know.
I always struggle with last words, but if you do want to engage Ramadan and you're like, I've never fasted before, I've been thinking about it, I want to understand. I mean, you've done it before, right? So you know what it's like. It's fun. It feels like you're doing something. And even though we're separated by, you know, a lot of distance, I think it's still worth it to reach out and ask someone. I know that I have a friend who's going to be fasting for the first time this year. And so I'm just going to be your accountability buddy. So if you want to consider it, like it's a fun experience. And maybe if you have some of that holy envy, you don't have to be Muslim to participate in Ramadan, right? You can participate in fasting in whatever way that works for you. And I think it's a fun way to just build community. So find ways to build community this Ramadan, Muslim or non-Muslim, because we all could probably use a little bit of community right now. And I think we all miss each other. So
yeah, for sure. Oh my gosh. That's a great last word. Thank you. Thanks for being here. I hope next year we remember this conversation, but if we don't, we'll have you back. But thank you so much for jumping on here and being a part of helping our community learn and grow in this way. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I love Cafeteria Christian, and I'm happy to be back anytime to talk to you about the weird Muslim stuff. It's not normal Muslim stuff. I am the weird Muslim.
All right, everybody, this has been another episode of Cafeteria Christian. Thanks so much for being with us. Thanks, Asma, for being with us. You can find us on all the things. Asma's available if you have questions for her or you want to just engage. She gives epic trolls to the Minneapolis mayor, so worth the follow just for that. But on Twitter, it's Asma Resists, right? And is that what you are on Instagram,
too?
Yeah, I
think I'm that on everything. Just trying to make it easy for everyone. Streamline the content. Just hit the follow button. Send me weird DMs. Tell me what you think about my tweets. And we'll be friends.
That'll be great. That's awesome. It's a worthy follow, particularly if you. I just every time I see the Minneapolis mayor in the news, I just quick run over and I'm like, all right, let's see what else.
I'm trying to be nicer this Ramadan, so I have like a few days left to really get my jabs in. But I'll be nice.
Be nice with this Ramadan. I guess maybe that's a challenge for everybody.
If you have a mirror like that, I mean, come on.
Oh, man. All right. So follow Asma, and then you can find Cafeteria Christian everywhere. And if you have questions for us and you need, you know, help connecting some ways, particularly in how to support Ramadan and the community that you are in, just find us there. We'll post links and that kind of stuff on Facebook and Instagram. And all the hosts are on those things too. So find us, but most importantly, follow Asma at Asma Resists. And thanks everybody for joining us for this episode. Do what we do here with all the things. Just take what you like and leave the rest. Bye.